بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Firstly, I'm not the best amongst of the brothers to deliver this lecture, but possibly because of the only thing that I can vouch for is probably many years of marriage, that I can discuss this topic about searching for a spouse or ways of getting married. And we find that al-Islam, from maqasid al-Sharia, from the purpose of the sending of the Islamic legislation, came to preserve five things. Came to preserve one's nafs, one's aql, one's nasl, wal-ird, wal-mal. Islam came to preserve your soul, your intellect, your lineage, your honor, and your property. This is the whole purpose. If you study Islam, that everywhere you look, you find that the legislations are there to preserve your mind, your soul, your body, your property, your wealth, and your lineage. And we find that marriage is one of those contracts that if you don't understand marriage, you will destroy all of this. Because as they state, love blinds. And in the state of your blindness, you will destroy your wealth, destroy your lineage, destroy even your own self. The amount of people who have committed suicide for the sake of a woman or the sake of a man. Destroy your property. Take on any lineage. Whatever comes to you, you're just willing to give up the whole of your life, your family, for the sake of this person. So that's why marriage is one of those important contracts that we really need to begin to understand, all of us. Those who have been married for maybe one year, even up to 10 years or even 20 years. Life is an ongoing learning process. That is the way insan is. Throughout his life, he is continuously learning. The misconceptions that he holds in his heart, in his mind, the problems that he faces, how to bring himself out of the problems that he may even bring upon himself. And we find that marriage, really the title of this topic should be marriage or mirage. That's the real essence. Because many people are going to two extremes. One extreme is that marriage, even amongst those people under the disguise of al-Islam, is to go and perform this honeymoon, to go out on these exotic holidays, all under the Islamic holidays. And dunya has hit them from every single angle. That pleasure of this dunya, seeking of this dunya, luxuries of this dunya, is all that some people are seeking even under the disguise of al-Islam. That's why many people are complaining that they can't get married, because the demands are so many. I need this and I need that. And likewise, the men need this and they need that. And then we find the other extreme, that people are living in a bubble world. They think that my wife is not like Khadija radiallahu anha, and you're not like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They think that everybody should be like the companions. Just because you wear a niqab, or you wear a thawb, that you must be amongst ahsanul khalq, the best of creation, the best of people. And this is another misconception, because truly those people who deal with the divorce rates amongst the practicing people is forever increasing. Not just amongst those people who are not practicing, but people who are practicing as well. Why is it? Why is it that there is no harmony in our society in marriage, amongst the common people and amongst those people who are according to al-Islam? And we find that this mirage, because if you study the meaning of what is a mirage, it's a disillusion or a misconception that you see. in a state of a desert, that you come up to this place, an oasis, that you feel is some water to drink. But when you get close, it's only the mesmerization of your mind, the thinking of your mind, something that you've been thinking about. And likewise, you find marriage. That when you see somebody from a distance, and you think that looks like a beautiful object, and you begin to get closer and closer, until eventually you find that you've been struck by something which is not a humble person, which is not a soft, loving husband. It is a tyrannical, oppressive person. Is there any contradiction in the verses of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. He is the one amongst you signs that He has created for you wives from amongst yourselves, that you may find tranquility in them. And He has put between you yani rahma and mawadda, affection and mercy. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect. Could there be a contradiction in this verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly stating, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that you may live with her. And another place inside the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. He is the one who has created you from a single person, Adam alayhi salam, and then He has created from his wife Hawa, in order that he may enjoy the pleasure of living with her. Now here in the Arabic language we find that even though the pronoun is referring to the female, it carries the meaning of a male as well. That just like you have pleasure with living with her, she should be enjoying pleasure with living with you. So whenever we mention, refer to the male pronoun, we are referring to the female as well. So nobody should think that we're always quoting the male species. It includes the female as well. So the male, لِيَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that he may enjoy her, take pleasure from her. Whether it be the sexual pleasures, or whether it be the pleasures of just having comforting in talking and speaking to her. And that's why we find the Prophet Muhammad stating, when he would say to Aisha radiallahu anha, kallimini, kallimini, speak to me, speak to me. And you find that this is a form of affection, to listen to one's spouse and listen to what they have to say. So we find that this is the essence of a zawaj, or of marriage. However, we find that the beginning of marriage should be from the essence, or the ruling of what is marriage. Because we find that once again people are going to two different extremes. Amongst mankind we find those people who turn to sodomy, turn to homosexuality. And even amongst the Muslims we find that people have established homosexual Muslim societies, saying that this is a way of life. And this is a true fact, that these societies exist. And we find that this is an abominable sin. This is a sin that the people of Lut began, who used to carry out this evil sin. This is one extreme of people that we find in behaving in such a manner. Well, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated inside the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى, that we have created you, O mankind, from a male and a female. This is the essence of mankind, according to the Quran. Likewise, at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, that fear your Lord, and we have created you from Adam and from Hawa, and then from them both spread many mankind, and much of creation of the human being. And we find that these people, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَمْ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ, that these people are like cattle, or more astray than cattle, who follow the shahawat, follow the desires, to behave in such a manner. And then we find another form of misconception, is الرَّحْبَانِيَّة, monasticism, to become a monk. And we find that these people, that they began to have dreams themselves, that the monks will be tempted at night by a female demon called Sukubi, and the nuns will be seduced at night by a female demon called Inkubi. This is what they write in their works. Because the essence of man is to be with a woman, and a woman to be with a man. But if you lock your desires away, if you lock them away, then obviously you will have these hallucinations and begin to think that demons are attacking you. Male demons or female demons. And then we find that the devil uses to gain possession of our souls. That's what these people, they write, these ruhban, these monks. And they began to state, and even amongst the Sufiya, the Islamic mysticists, or the mystical people, even though it should be adhering to the Quran and the Sunnah, that they began to write sex is evil only for procreation and despise for pleasure. That the only time you can go to your spouse is to have a child. Apart from that, you should not enter upon your wife. And this has become common in the Muslim society, that people even growing up in this country, that they may be married, but they only enter upon their spouses to have a child. And then they have their mistresses to do whatever they want to do, because they don't seem to understand the concept of marriage. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated it clearly inside the Quran, that they are your spouses, and come to them any which way you like. فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّمَا شِئْتُمْ. Come to your wife whichever way you want, إِلَّا الدُّبُرْ, except for from the behind. This is the Quran. So when people shy away from topics and say, look, that you know, Islam doesn't talk about these topics, this is incorrect. The Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah is clearly stating about the role of how you enter upon your spouses, that they are a till, they are a fertile land for you. Enter the land whichever way you want. And that's why you find even amongst the companions asking in detailed questions about how to enter upon their spouses, how to behave. And that's why we find that there's only one man, the Prophet Muhammad, that his internal affairs have been exposed to the whole of humanity. Li'ibra, for a lesson and an understanding, and for us to take heed from that. If you read from many of his ahadith, that he fondled with his wives, he kissed his wives, he held his wives, he played with his wives. To show what? Does that take anything away from his manhood? No. It shows us the lessons of how a man should behave towards his wife. The way that he or she should conduct herself, even to the extent that they would bathe with one another. And even though some ulama have gone into discussion about this, but just to highlight the issue of the way of the relationship between the husband and the wife. And we find that this essence of being in pairs is clearly been mentioned inside the Quran. وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Everything has been created in pairs, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, that you may take heed from this. Likewise in Surah Yasin, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْعَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا. Glorified be Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created everything in pairs. مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ, what comes out of the earth. وَمِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, and from amongst your own selves, and from that which you don't know. So this zawjiyah of everything being inside pairs is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we find that inside many ahadith, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ اسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ الْبَاءَةَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. Whoever amongst you, O young men, has the ability to get married, then they should get married. Whoever has the ability and the capacity, they should get married. And likewise we find in the hadith مَا رَوَاهُ Imam Bukhari, talking about the three men who said that they're going to give up everything. They're going to pray every single night, one of them, and not break his prayer. The other one is going to fast every single day. And the third one said, I'm going to remain away from women. And then when he returned, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, are you the ones who said such and such? Verily I pray and I break my prayer. I fast and I break my fast. And I indulge and I enter upon women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah has got nothing to do with me. Once again, they're highlighting the fact that there is no monasticism in Al-Islam. There is no behavior of this to remain away from women. This is a natural creation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This is the condition which Allah has placed inside human beings, that they have this raghbah, they have this zeal, they have this desire to be entering upon the opposite spouse. And that's why we find that the way, the methodology of the prophets, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. This is from the way of the prophets, that we have sent messengers before you, and all of them married, and all of them had a genealogy, all of them had a lineage. And even Isa ibn Maryam, alayhim as-salam, that he will return and he will get married once again to fulfill the sunnah of all of the prophets. And we find that the importance of marriage, مَا رَوَاهُ Imam Bayhaqi, that whoever marries, when a servant of Allah marries, he has completed half of his religious obligations. And for the other half, he should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only those people who are married can understand this hadith. You may feel that you are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but your iman is only half complete. It is only until you complete the contract of marriage that you begin to develop full control over yourself, over your lusts and your desires and your glances and your speech and everything. And the whole of your heart is concentrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the sunnah that He has laid down inside Bashar, inside the human being. And we find that this inclination has been mentioned inside the Quran as well. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ. That this craving and this desire has been placed inside human beings. And what are those craving things? النِّسَاء وَالْبَنِينَ. The love of women and the love of children. And that's why we find in the hadith, تَزَوَّجُ الْبَنِينَ ودود الولود, marry the loving and the fertile. For verily I will compete with the rest of the prophets on the day of judgment about the numerous amount of followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we find that this is the creation of al-insan. Ala ya'lamu man khalaq wa huwa al-latiful khabir. Does he not know what he has created? Wa huwa al-latiful khabir. And he is the most subtle and the aware. He has created insan in this form. He knows what his needs are. He knows what her needs are. Clearly been stated that these are the needs of a man and a need of a woman. However, we find that if we don't begin to address this topic, that the same woman or the concept of marriage tends to become a fitna. مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِ فِتْنَةً أَدَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. The most greatest fitna upon human being, upon mankind, is fitnatu nisa, is the fitna of women. Likewise, find another hadith that the great fitna that hit Bani Israel, كانت في النساء, used to be in women. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ. Fear this dunya and fear women. Now these are the things that will take you, with all credit to women, these are the things that will take you away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many human beings, or how many amongst the men, or amongst mankind, have given up their deen for the sake of a woman, given up their ibadah, wassalah, and everything that they used to do for the sake of a woman, given it all up, sacrificed the whole of their life just for a single woman. And we find that the Prophet Muhammad himself stated, حُبِّبَ عِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا الطِّيبُ وَالنِّسَاءُ وَجُعِلَتْ كُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ مَا رَوَاهُ إِمَامُ دَاوُودُ. That the best things amongst this dunya which have been made pleasing to me, الطِّيبُ وَالنِّسَاءُ, beautiful smell and women, and the tenderness and the coolness of my eyes has been placed inside as-salah. This is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighting this point, that this is the essence and the love that every single human being holds inside their heart. And if we go towards the haram methodology, that if you take a husband and a wife inside one room, inside a hotel for example, and you take another man and a woman in another room in the same hotel, both side to side, one of them is indulging in halal and the other is in haram, what is the difference? The difference is aqdun nikah, the contract of marriage. That is what separates these two people. That's what separates al-ajr, separates al-reward, and separates al-ithm. Because we find, وَفِي بُدْءِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقًا. And to place yourself properly into your spouse, صدقة, is a charity. The companions ask, how could it be a charity? How is it that this animalistic behavior, if it is deemed right, that even animals behave like this, could be a sadaqah? If you placed it in haram, it's been a sin upon you. And if you placed it in halal, it's a reward for you. So clearly, even this affair of to behave in this manner, there is sadaqah written down for you. Charity has been written down for you for behaving in this manner. And we find that these people who commit this abominable action, and many of the ulama have written that one of the most evil sins after al-ishraku billahi azza wa jal, after committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is az-zina, is to commit az-zina, to commit illicit sexual behavior. To behave in this manner is one of the sins that destroys you in this dunya and destroys you in the akhirah as well. And clearly, the disease of AIDS which is spreading amongst this community, amongst the whole of this community, upon the whole of this earth, is clearly a sign upon their lewdness, their fahsha, their evil and immoral behavior, that a sin has been thrown upon these people. And we find that these few minutes of pleasure, as one Arab scholar he mentioned in one of his lectures, that is an Arab person traveled abroad to the great United States of America, and when he entered into this hotel, that a woman was looking at him. And perchance, we know that most people who have not been exposed to this type of society, he was interested in her. So he called her over, offered her a drink, began to converse with her, and then he went upstairs and did whatever he had to do. When he woke up in the morning, and he said, Aina Habibi, Aina Habibi, where's my loved one, where's my loved one? He looked around, and she had gone. He walked around the room, went into the bathroom, and there he saw with red lipstick written on the mirror, welcome to the world of AIDS. Welcome to the world of AIDS. just for your sexual desires and pleasures. I'm going to hell anyway. I'm going there. I'm going to die. I'm destroyed. And that's what these people believe in. We are destroyed. We are animals in our approach, in our life. Let us destroy these pure people. Let us entice these people. The latest study of Mossad, of sending their spies into this country, is what? Women who have been trained to sleep with Muslims. Trained that they are willing to sleep with people to gain information from them. This is what their intelligence breeds them to do. And then they talk about dignity. They want to teach us how to look after our women when they're training to their women to behave in such a manner, and they feel no shame. So here we find the danger of what these people are trying to display in front of us. And we find that the punishment is clearly visible inside the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is, if the word is acceptable, a dog's death, to be stoned to death. انظر إلى هذا رجم مثل الكلب. Look at this one who's been stoned to death like a dog. This is the punishment of the person who commits a zina, to be stoned. Because we live in such a Western society like this, and even amongst the Muslim lands, this type of behavior becomes normal. It becomes a normal practice to be indulging in such an affair. It's not seen as a big taboo. And when people do talk about this, what do they state? The verses of the Quran. أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوتٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. Get rid of the people of Lut. There are people who want to be purified. So when people call to the da'wah of purity, they say, get rid of these people. Even in the Arab lands, get rid of these people who call towards unity, who call towards purification, who call towards marriage, who call towards to avoid these sexual conduct and this behavior, the removal of prostitution in the Muslim land, the removal of drugs, and the removal of alcohol and liquor. To remove this, they say, no, remove those people. Remove them, not them. We want to enjoy this. These are the good things of this dunya. الدنيا متاع وخير متاعها المرأة الصالحة. The whole of this dunya is a provision, and the best provision is مرأة الصالحة, is a good wife. That is the best thing that you can take in this dunya, to be with you. A woman who would aid you in your deen, aid you in your dunya, aid you in every single thing that you do in your life. And that's how you find that many of the ulama that they wrote, and many of these people themselves, they write, behind every great man is a great woman. And let no one be mistaken by that statement. Even amongst the Anbiya alayhimus salam, behind them was great women. Especially if you look at Musa alayhi salam, that you find his mother, you find his sister, you find his wife, and you find the wife of Fir'aun. Four women behind him, forever encouraging him on, giving him advice and telling him what to do and to behave in a correct manner and to remain steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we find that his contract, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned inside Surah An-Nisa, mithaqan ghaliza, a strong covenant. There is many covenants that we carry out in our life. The contracts of work, the contracts of construction, the contracts of even business become relaxed if you know the other person. But this contract is mithaqan ghaliza. It's the strongest covenant that you will ever take in your life. It is not like buying a pair of shoes. You take them back to Next and you change them. You go back to JD Sports and say, I don't like them. That's not what marriage is. Alf marra, 1,000 times you should think about what you're doing. Even more than 1,000 times. To think about it. That are you mentally capable? Are you physically capable? Have you got the wealth to do what you're doing? Are you following your emotions and your desires? Are you just looking at the looks? What are you going for? What is your intention? What do you aim to achieve? What do you want to do? This is the basis and the essence. And that's what we find in Hukm al-Ziwaj, in the rulings of marriage, that at times it becomes fard for you to get married. When does it become an obligation for you to get married? Possibly living in a country like this, that if you fear that you will fall into sin, and you know for a fact that you will commit zina, then it is an obligation for you to get married and to seek the means to get married. And likewise, the opposite has been written. When is it haram for you to get married? If you know you're going to be an oppressive person, you're going to kill her or harm her or torture her, then it becomes forbidden for you, or you don't have the ability to, any doctors have proven you don't have the ability to indulge in this type of behavior or relationship. And then when does it become just permissible? Even though the sunnah is to get married, but sometimes it can be delayed, that if a person is indulged in studies or transactions or traveling, and for some specific purpose it's delayed. But however, we find living in this country whereby this nudity is forever on the increase. The billboards, the media, the satellite, the newspapers, everything is based upon women. This ghariza al-nafsiyah, this feeling that a man has, this tension has to be released. So the only way is through az-zawaj. That seminars like this have to be open, to set up organizations and people to make these transactions of facilitating it for people to get married. That we are taught the way that we need to behave. Our parents are taught about the problems that we are facing and what steps need to be taken. And a masjid should be open as a community to deal and to rectify the problems that we face.